Sports. Second hour of Bulldog Live underway right now, as time will certainly fly, especially if you're having fun, and if you're not having fun, watch your money disappear too. Because I've said both of which go by faster than anything I've ever seen. 1-866-823-1077 is our phone number here on Bulldog Live, with plenty to get to with the New Hampshire primary. We're less than 2 weeks away. I know everybody's focused on Iowa right now, and you know, who cares about what happens in Iowa? I'm just kidding. I don't want to get all the political operatives mad at me. But then again, would that be a first time? No. But that's not my goal. Believe me, it's not. So we'll talk about what's happening in New Hampshire, some things that are going to be shaping up, as well as the attacks going on between all of the candidates on each other and their efforts to try and get your message. Which, by the way, January 6th, 9th, and 10th, we are going to be broadcasting live from the center of New Hampshire at the Radisson Hotel, in talking with the presidential candidates, their surrogates and the like, from Radio Row, Talk Radio News Service, where a number of radio talk show hosts from around the country will be descending upon New Hampshire, and we'll be broadcasting morning, noon, and night from there. All of our programs, the New Hampshire Wake Up Show, Bulldog Live, Jack Heath, New Hampshire Today, and the like. So stay tuned. It'll be a very, very good one. A lot of interest is already developing in that. So as we continue the conversation here, we started off the show talking with State Senator Jeannie Forrester of Meredith and State Representative Gene Chandler to talk about private property rights, and also talk about what happened with Northern Pass and its objection to the sale of the conservation easement of the Balsams land to the Society for Protection of New Hampshire Forests. And joining us today here on the show is Jack Savage from the Forest Society to give us an update about a lot of the developments that have been going on. Jack, good to see you.
Good morning, Brian. Thanks for letting me be here.
All right. So let's see. When we last talked to you, the campaign had just begun to try to conserve 5,800 acres of land at the Balsams on the wilderness area, and to make sure that that land is protected from future development, and you know, left open for people to enjoy.
That's right.
And you know, the natural wonder, and of course, as you pointed out before, even to allow some other work going on, like sustainable forestry practices.
That's right. Yeah, and I believe the new owners of the hotel, who are the ones who actually own the land, are working to find a forester to develop a forest management plan so they can manage that land sustainably from a forest management standpoint.
So we have a healthier forest, and you know, everybody will be able to
right, and they'll be able to derive
it.
Some revenue and put some people to work at the same
yes.
time. Absolutely.
Yep. And so as we've had that happen, the fundraising effort began, where you need to raise $850,000 by January 15th in order to meet the terms of the purchase and sale agreement for this easement. How are things going with that?
Well, this has been a pretty remarkable campaign, Brian. Typically, we work on a much longer time frame. It's compressed. But within minutes of posting the campaign on our website, we were already getting donations. That was in the first day that after our purchase and sale agreement was signed and we made the announcement. Within a week, we had raised $100,000. And over Christmas, remarkably enough, our fundraising doubled.
Wow.
From the Friday to before till the Monday morning after, we went from 100 to 2,000. And now this morning, I was able to update our Save the Balsams blog to let people know that we're now at we've crossed over the $250,000 threshold, which is just shy of 30% of our $850,000 goal. So that's real
wow.
progress. And the way these campaigns typically go, you know, you build momentum over time. Now, mm-hmm. typically, it takes us 6 or 8 weeks to get to this point in, as far as building momentum goes. It's gone very, very quick. It's really a viral online campaign with a lot of discussion about it out in the blogosphere. And
yes.
And we've got a video on our blog. You can go and see a nice video of some of the Balsams landscape. And
so you can see what it is that you're working
exactly,
to protect.
Exactly, right. Yeah, and I think a lot of your listeners must have driven across Route 26 and through Dixville Notch and know that incredible viewscape up there.
Mm-hmm.
But through these photos, there's a slideshow and the video, you can get a sense of some of the more specific things that are out there that we're trying to protect. Because ultimately, it's about protecting the natural resources that exist there. I posted a little picture of a peregrine falcon nest that's up on, I think it's up on the sort of cliffs that are part of Keyser Mountain. They're part of the 5,800 acres that we're going to protect. And we've had people on the ground all summer trying to sort of cataloging the various natural resource aspects up there. And they're busy finalizing all of the sort of paperwork that's required to close on the transaction by January 15th.
Yeah, that's good because, you know, there's still a lot of things up there. I mean, there are so many things about that land that is so unique to New Hampshire. You know, there's some very special habitat there.
There is some special habitat. There's some high elevation habitat, and there are certain species that rely on that and use that not exclusively but specifically for their survival and their thriving. One of the more important aspects is by putting these conservation restrictions on the land, it keeps it open to the public for traditional uses such as hunting, fishing, snowmobiling. A portion of the Coos Trail goes through there. That's the trail that goes from the Mount Washington Valley and up through Coos County up to the Canadian border and on from that.
Okay.
So if you cut out that link, you would cut out an important link on a much longer trail. There's about 30 miles of trails, all told, throughout the property that we're going to be protecting. Really remarkable place. It's a wilderness. It's Balsam Wilderness Resort.
Yes.
And so it's a place that where you can have, you know, when the hotel reopens in 18 months or so, you'll be able to have the ultimate luxury experience. But then right outside the door, you have the ultimate wilderness experience.
Right. And, you know, I've you know, been at the hotel as a guest, but I've also
Lucky
been
you.
Through the property. Yeah. I've been through the property also on a snowmobile, you know, just passing from, you know, one point, you know, coming up from Millsfield, Dummer, all the way up, you know, through Dixville Notch and up into Stewartstown and eventually to Pittsburgh. So, which is a nice long ride.
It is a nice long
ride.
Yeah. Beautiful though.
Yeah. Oh, it is absolutely gorgeous. So, and I know a number of my listeners have probably been up through there in much the same fashion, I'm sure. So this is what we're looking to protect. I mean, this is a lot of what it's about too.
It is, absolutely. And that's somewhat gotten lost in all of this controversy over Northern Pass.
Right.
And just to clarify, you know, our purchase and sale agreement with the Tillotson Corporation allows us to acquire the conservation restrictions as well as the Northern Pass right-of-way that was proposed. So we're acquiring both those set of rights, real estate interests, and it's our intention to then extinguish the right-of-way so that land can be protected as conservation land rather than having commercial development on it, which is what Northern Pass is at the end of the day.
Exactly, and this is where things really came to a head last week, you know, in discussing Northern Pass. And by the way, I just want to add, your efforts to protect this land has been underway long before Northern Pass was even thought of.
Well, absolutely. You know, Suzanne Kibler-Hacker, our VP of Development, posted on our Save the Balsams blog just the other day her recollection of standing with Neil Tillotson, looking over the land and having Mr. Tillotson talk about his experience on the land. This was back in the year 2000. And she asked him whether he'd ever be interested in protecting it. And he said he would, that he would take care of it as part of his estate planning and so forth. And as many people know, he ultimately didn't get particularly specific about his estate planning. And so it's taken some time to wind our way towards a conservation outcome for that property. But here we are. We have the opportunity. We have a short window, and we're determined to succeed.
And, you know, in what happened with Northern Pass last week, objecting to the sale by sending one of their attorneys, having a letter sent to the director of the Charitable Trust, which would, you know, ultimately reviewed and did approve on Friday, you know, the purchase and sales agreement between the trust and the Forest Society. You know, you could see that they were really desperate for the land, and B, they just thought, we'll just throw a whole bunch of money around and it'll become ours anyway.
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of disturbing elements to that. One of them is that in their letter to the AG's office, they complained in particular about the undue influence of public opinion on an outcome. And I think when an organization, when you're a nonprofit like ours or a nonprofit like the Tillotson Trust, and you are set up to benefit the public, that the public's opinion about what is good for itself happens to matter. And we've seen this attitude throughout Northern Pass's rollout in New Hampshire. They've been very clear that they don't really care about what the public thinks. They ultimately care about what they want to do. And that should bother everyone in New Hampshire. We can have an intelligent discussion and a rational discussion about whether bringing power from Hydro-Québec down to southern New England, where it's destined, is a good idea or a bad idea. But we ought to have it with the thoughts and opinions of the public counting in some way. And mm-hmm. It's what frustrates many people about the whole Northern Pass permitting process is that it, there's this sort of gnawing fear that somehow the fact that 30 communities that this thing is going to go through don't want it somehow wouldn't matter. And I think the governor gets that. You know, the governor has said, as Jeannie Forrester mentioned earlier in your show, mm-hmm. that if you want to propose this project, work with the communities to get their support. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. Well, what we're seeing by this action last week is that they are simply ignoring that advice. And it's to heck with it all. We have our objective. We're going to pursue our objective with whatever legal means we can and with all the money that we can gin up. And we're going to try to succeed that way. I would like to think that in New Hampshire in particular, that approach just won't fly.
Right, and that's my suspicion too as well. And we're talking about, in all of this debate, are we talking about a big corporation coming around throwing out a bunch of money in hopes that they can persuade people that way? Or are we talking about the people of New Hampshire determining for themselves what their economic history is, what their quality of life is, what their legacy is, both economically, historically, through conservation practices and the like? And that's what I think this whole argument over the balsams has become, and I think should be as well. What kind of legacy do we want for New Hampshire? I mean, we are the guardians of our future right now. You know, in looking at and my view in supporting the Forest Society's efforts in, you know, acquiring this conservation easement is a big step in that direction.
Well, and I think we would like to think of ourselves as being an important part of that legacy of the quality of life of New Hampshire. You know, we've been around since 1901. We hold over 700 conservation easements, constituting some 120,000 acres. We own 50,000 acres ourselves. And all of that, all of the land we own ourselves is open to the public for traditional uses. It's part of the New Hampshire way of life. It's part of the New Hampshire quality of life. And you could see from the comments in the Union Leader this morning that you mentioned earlier, the article in the Union Leader this morning, that clearly Northern Pass doesn't really get that conservation is a benefit unto itself. And that's unfortunate. I think it's probably a reflection that ultimately these decisions and this effort is coming out of Connecticut, out of Northeast Utilities, and NSTAR, and perhaps out of Hydro-Québec, and that they don't really get that, and they don't really understand New Hampshire. And I suspect that's a lot of the reason that they've had such problems in New Hampshire, because they haven't really been ready or willing to listen and don't intuitively understand what New Hampshire people think is valuable.
Right. And as you said earlier, the 30 towns, 31 communities that voted against the Northern Pass project, either through a town meeting warrant article or a special selectmen's meeting and the like, these people still they can't stop the project so much as through just the town. In other words, the planning board can't say, oh, you can't put those towers here. Yeah, right. Because as you said, the frustration that a lot of people are feeling is that this is going to be decided by a whole bunch of unelected bureaucrats, the way that the process has been set up.
Well, I think there is a pathway here towards forging a different outcome than what Northern Pass has in mind. I don't think it's possible for them to put together a route without the use of eminent domain.
Mm-hmm.
Our attorneys believe that thanks to Article 12A of the Constitution, the New Hampshire Constitution, ultimately they don't have access to eminent domain because it's a participant-funded private commercial project. It's a private transmission line. This is meant to take power from Hydro-Québec in Canada and sell it to Hydro-Québec subsidiary here in the U.S. for delivery in southern New England. And so ultimately, I don't think they'll be able to do it without eminent domain. They're not going to mm-hmm. have access to eminent domain. And they don't ultimately, I don't think, have access to what they think of as their existing right-of-way. That's PSNH's distribution line right-of-way. That goes through many New Hampshire people's backyards.
Right.
And those rights of way don't automatically allow PSNH to turn around and sell to a private developer, at least not without renegotiating with the existing landowners. These are huge, huge hurdles for them to get over. I think ultimately it may not be a town, it may not even be the state legislature, it may not even be the New Hampshire SEC that stops this thing. It's going to be individuals along the way who just say no. No, thank you. We're very happy we're doing what we're doing, living on the land as we have for generations, valuing the land for what it's meant to our families for all those generations, working the land, surviving from the land. And we rather would not just simply see money going into a Connecticut utility's pocket. Thank you very much.
Right. And this is why it's important to pass House Bill 648.
Right. 648 is really meant to make that clear, make that lack of access to eminent domain clear up front. The problem being that a landowner, in many cases, as we've understood it, being faced with being offered a lot of money on one hand and with at least the tacit suggestion that if they don't take that money, then ultimately they're going to lose their land anyway for a lot less money. And mm-hmm. and that's simply unfair, and that tactic shouldn't be allowed to be used. And that's what House Bill 648. So we'll see whether the state Senate, especially after this to-do last week, where it's very clear, the first time that Northern Pass ran up against a roadblock, their immediate move was to take legal action. Well, it was the moral equivalent of eminent domain,
mm-hmm.
and people shouldn't stand for it.
This is what I told our listeners. I said, this is what eminent domain looks like. They don't get a willing landowner to go along with it. They go running to the government authorities saying, force them to give it to us instead. And that's what it looks like. So this is why House Bill 648, not the version that was passed by the Senate Judiciary Committee. You want to call your senators and ask them to reject the Senate Judiciary Committee's recommendation, replace it with the Jeanne Forrester, Peter Bragdon amendment. No public utility may petition for permission to take private land or property rights for the construction or operation of an electric generating plant, which is the current language, by the way, or for any private development, including but not limited to participant-funded projects. And that is where the eminent domain statute would be brought into line with Article 12A to make it very clear that these companies cannot make these kinds of threats anymore, because they would be making baseless threats to begin with, because now the language is explicitly clear.
Right. And in the meantime, the Forest Society, you know, we can deal with any legal challenges. We're really quite confident that Northern Pass doesn't have any leg to stand on here. We have an ironclad purchase and sale agreement with the Tillotson Corporation. Both we and they have every intention of completing that transaction. And in the meantime, we've got to raise this money.
Exactly. So $850,000 total. You've got, as you told us this morning, the figures have been updated. You've got $250,000 so far. And so that leaves us $600,000 to go.
That's right. Yep. And this is really a tremendous viral campaign. I think I mentioned to you earlier, Brian, that we've got people making gifts in honor of other people, which is something you can do. So
good.
Whoever you might imagine that you would like to make a gift in honor, the person who's honored gets a letter from us acknowledging the gift that's been made in their name.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can pick anyone. And some people have enjoyed themselves by picking some interesting people to honor with their gifts.
All right. We'll just leave it at that, I think. But anyway, how do people find out more about this Balsams campaign and, to particularly to donate money as we are approaching before New Year. This is a great time for people who are looking to make those end of the year donations.
That's right. And these are tax deductible donations. If for some reason this deal would fall through, don't count on it because we have every intention of making it happen. But then you do get your money back. People need to know that. But you can go to www.forestsociety.org/balsams, and you can read about the project and make a donation right online. And you can find out more about the project and click through to donate at savethebalsams.blogspot.com.
All right. And that's a good blog that people need to be checking out because you've been providing a lot of updates throughout this whole thing. In fact, Friday afternoon, when most of the media operations were shut down across the state of New Hampshire and this news came out from the Attorney General's office approving the purchase and sales agreement, the blog had it.
It did. Thanks very much. And of course, one of the best places to go for news about this and the Northern Pass and everything is your own website, Brian. We appreciate that very much.
You're welcome. And I did link up to it right on the top of my homepage at briantilton.com.
Well, maybe that's the easiest way for people to find the Balsams information. Go to briantilton.com and then click through there.
That's fine. Whatever works, whatever it takes. And it's very good. And Jack, happy to support this effort, too. In our own small way, because I've seen a lot of people just talking about, however amounts, big, small, whatever, it all helps because you have till January 15th to do this.
Well, yeah, we do. But, it's not like we haven't done this before. It's a compressed time frame, but we're confident that our donors will step forward and make this happen. 5,800 acres is a really remarkable conservation opportunity.
Yes, it
there
is.
Aren't many of those that come along. And to be able to permanently protect forever and ever
right.
a tract like that and keep it as working forest and so forth is really
which provides jobs for people,
Absolutely.
Too. And that's important. We're not talking about just taking land nobody can use. We're talking about keeping it open for the public enjoyment, for our legacy, and for jobs and economic opportunity in the North Country.
That's right.
All right, which benefits all of us here in the state of New Hampshire.
I'd like to think so, absolutely.
All right, very good. Jack, and again, people want to stop by the Forest Society as well. You do have a couple of operations, right? You have your headquarters in Concord.
We do. We have our headquarters at 54 Portsmouth Street in Concord. Of course, we have the Rocks Christmas Tree Farm up in Bethlehem. People can stop by there, too. And if you just want to call us at 224-9945, we're happy to talk to you. If you want to talk about stock gifts or other kinds of things, we're happy to talk to you. We can take your credit card over the phone. We're happy to receive a check. And we're receiving donations through all those avenues now.
That's good. So, all right. Thank you, Jack. Good luck. And we'll keep our listeners posted. We'll have you back again soon.
We appreciate that. Thanks very much, Brian.
All right. Take care.